WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. This could be a make or break day for President-elect Donald Trump's embattled pick for Attorney General.
Are you reconsidering the nomination of Matt Gaetz?
No. Mr. Trump standing by his choice ahead of a key gathering on Capitol Hill. Correspondent Naomi Ruckum.
Today, the House Ethics Committee meets amid calls for it to release its report probing allegations against Gaetz of sexual misconduct, including claims that he had sex with a minor. Gaetz has denied all wrongdoing and says the allegations are a smear.
Mr. Trump's chosen the WWE's Linda McMahon for education secretary and celebrity Dr. Mehmet Oz to run the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. CBS's Michael Wallace.
Trump is touting Oz's experience as a physician, surgeon, and communicator. Oz had his own TV show for 13 years.
I've got highly effective, all-natural weight loss aids.
In 2014, Congress accused him of misleading consumers about a weight loss supplement he promoted on his show. Oz ran for Senate in Pennsylvania in 2022, but lost to Democrat John Fetterman.
The American embassy in Kyiv is closed amid rising tensions between the U.S. and Russia. Correspondent Vicky Barker.
The State Department's warned Americans there to take shelter, warning of, quote, a potential significant air attack. This just hours after word that President Biden has agreed to supply Ukraine with anti-personnel landmines, itself coming just days after his go-ahead for U.S.-supplied long-range missiles to be fired into Russian territory.
A powerful bomb cyclone is battering the Pacific Northwest with torrential rain, snow, and hurricane-force winds. At least one person's been killed by a falling tree. They're bracing for dangerous flooding in Washington State, Oregon, and in Northern California, Sonoma County.
So I'm expecting our creek to just go crazy.
With the weather changing, water's creeping in a little bit more and more over the years.
Alec Baldwin's movie Rust premieres in Poland today, and cinematographer Halina Hutchins' mother won't be there. Her daughter was killed by a bullet discharged from Baldwin's gun during production in New Mexico. Olga Solovey says the actor's refusal to apologize or take responsibility increases the pain of her loss. It might be time to cut down on saturated fats and eat more fruits and veggies. CBS's Michael George explains.
About 1 in 10 adults has high cholesterol. That's the findings of a new report by the CDC. The study also found that rates of high cholesterol actually dropped in the early 2000s. But for the last 10 years, they've stayed about the same.
S&P futures up 5. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Murphy named Manager of the Year. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, baseball. The Brewers' Pat Murphy named National League Manager of the Year. The 65-year-old guided the Brewers to winning their division in its first season, despite numerous injuries to starters. Although the crew has been led by skippers like George Bamberger, Harvey Keene, and Craig Counsell, Pat Murphy is the first Brewer ever to win the Manager of the Year award. NBA, the Bucks host the Chicago Bulls tonight at Fiserv Forum. The Bulls are 6-9. The Bucks are 5-9. College football, the Wisconsin Badgers had to Lincoln, Nebraska to face the Cornhuskers Saturday at 2:30. Badgers quarterback Braden Locke asked if offensive coordinator Phil Longo should have been fired.
That's tough to comment on. I think decisions like these are very hard on people's families. They're very hard on the staff and the players. And so, it's just one of those things that kind of have to handle it and be able to get yourself together and play your best ball on Saturday.
That's Badgers quarterback Braden Locke with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Houston native Beyoncé will perform at halftime of the Baltimore Ravens-Houston Texas game on Christmas Day. The performance so far is being kept a secret, but it is expected the pop icon will welcome special guests, according to CNN. The game will be broadcast as streaming giant Netflix's first ever NFL broadcast. How excited are fans? Let's just say this could be the single greatest performance interrupted by repeated buffering the world has ever seen. So what do you do when you miss your celebrity ex-wife, Khloe Kardashian? If you're former NBA hoopster Lamar Odom, you buy a sex doll that looks just like her. Yes, it's true. Odom says he purchased the doll to use as a mental wellness tool. I need a new medical plan. On the We're Out of Time podcast, the former Laker said the best part of sex with a doll who looks like a Kardashian is that it's not an actual Kardashian. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, P. Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Mostly cloudy today with a few scattered snow showers possible at times, and it is going to get colder with temperatures falling through the day into the low 30s by late this afternoon. Tonight, breezy, low of 29. Tomorrow, flurries, windy with a high near 40. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 33.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, it is Wednesday. That means it's time for public cervix announcement with Dr. Laura Hanks. And we'll wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. I hope you'll join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Interior newsroom and carried by our friends here on the Civic Media Radio Network. At 7:06 on this Wednesday morning, November 20th, it is nice to have you along with us today on this day in history. We cover that every morning at about 6:50, and then we carry on with the National Day Calendar as well, which we didn't have time for before. So let me get to that and tell you that today is Future Teachers of America Day. It's Education Support Professionals Day. From a food standpoint, it's Peanut Butter Fudge Day. It's World COPD Day. This is Transgender Day of Remembrance, something that started in Minneapolis, actually, in 1975, and seems somewhat appropriate that we remember all the folks who've been lost to violence against transgender people when you consider that in Congress, you have Congresswoman Nancy Mace of South Carolina trying to bully the first transgender woman elected to Congress and trying to prohibit her from having bathroom privileges in the U.S. Capitol, something to keep in mind as we continue decades of trying to overcome hatred and discrimination. Finally, Greg, today is International Hug a Runner Day, which, again, I would imagine you'd have to be running alongside them to hug them, and the whole thing could just end up in a big ball of limbs and gravel. So maybe hug the runner after. Yeah. After the run is over?
Yeah, I'm not running to hug them. I'll hug them when they're done, when they're wrapped in that, like, you know, potato aluminum foil cocoon.
The aluminum foil cocoon, I like that. I've never gotten one. So, I mean, are you still hugging a runner if they're not running anymore?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Get on my level. That's what I used to run a lot. I know. It doesn't look like it, but I did, and now I don't.
These are the weighty questions that we answer here on Up North News Radio. It's 34 degrees here in Chippewa Falls. You can tell Brittany's on vacation for one more day if we're tap dancing like this. It's 35 in La Crosse, 36 in Wausau, 34 in Amory, 36 in Rapids, Green Bay's at 43, Madison 41, Waukesha 37, and where Greg is at Radio Park in Racine, it is 42 degrees. Rob from Tiger's Den says good morning. He wished Melissa a good morning from our last segment. Happy to buy her a soda a few weeks ago in Appleton. In Tigerton right now, partly cloudy and 38 degrees. He's got errands to run in Shawano today. Apparently he's filling in for Brittany here, telling us that eastern Wisconsin could get 1 to 3 inches of snow. But it is November 20th in Wisconsin, and snow is expected. The big story here, he writes, is a 10-year-old boy from the Shawano area called 911 because he was having trouble with his math homework, and a Shawano County deputy came to his house to help him with his math problem. This is what happens in Shawano County. This is positively adorable. And really can't say enough about the deputy who, you know, just went along with it, understood that this boy needed help and helped him.
So good work out of you. Up North News reporter Elizabeth Montemurro joining us as well. Elizabeth, you've never had to call 911 to have help with your homework, I assume.
I have not. However, I think there were some times growing up where I wanted to. My uncle was a fireman, so.
Oh, nice.
Would have been nice to have the assist on a few science projects.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I had a guest in the last hour, and for folks who missed it, you can always catch past episodes by podcast or go to civicmedia.us. And I'm talking to this electrician about all these new jobs in school districts, thanks to the Inflation Reduction Act, all these clean energy jobs, talking about being an electrician for a career. And while I was in Idaho last week with my older grandson, who's 18, he's doing his senior research paper on careers and he wants to be an electrician. I'm like, I really could have used all this information a week earlier, you know, to help him out on this. So if your relative who's a firefighter could help you out at some point, preferably not with a hose, but with knowledge, that would be just fine. How is you have not been able to take like a kind of a post-election break here, have you? Are you going to, I'm sure you're going to take a little time off for Thanksgiving.
Yes. Hoping to take a day or two off next week. But I thought wisely, planned a big vacation for February, thinking I'll save it for a midwinter escape from the snow. I'm not so sure that was a wise decision anymore, but the vacation's booked, so we're going with it.
The things that'll be going on in February, whether it's the latest from the Trump administration or the elections here in Wisconsin, we'll get the work done around it. You just be sure to enjoy. But yeah, before and after that trip, we will be talking about the next elections in Wisconsin. And obviously, most folks, when they hear that there's elections next April, they think about state Supreme Court. You know, a few folks are aware that there will be an open seat on the state Supreme Court, and conservatives will be fighting hard for it as a chance to retake control of the state Supreme Court. But there's an almost equally large race at the state level for state superintendent of public instruction. Dr. Jill Underley is in that position right now. She is going to be running for re-election, and she has definitely not been shy about putting her marker down on what she would like to see accomplished, not only by herself as state superintendent, but what she'd like to see in the next state budget. And you've got a story about that on our website over at upnorthnewswi.com.
That's right. The last couple weeks leading up to the election, we were all focused on, I think, other things. But we can't forget that Dr. Jill Underley also started releasing her budget proposals for the next state biennial budget at the end of October. And she's proposed some what I think are maybe innovative, quote unquote innovative, but smart proposals in which she's asking to fund our schools. And the way where she wants to fund our schools in the next biennial budget doesn't include a referendum that we've seen increasing numbers. We've talked about before on the show the number of referendums that school districts had to put on the ballot this fall. And she wants to do it without raising taxes.
Well, let's give a listen to how Dr. Underley describes how she might do that.
Because we have a surplus, we have a critical opportunity to reinvest in public education and ensure our schools have what they need to ensure our kids' success. These investments will significantly reduce the number of referendum for operating costs in local communities. We will hold down local property taxes while investing in education. It's a true win-win.
Well, I imagine that's because, look, the referendums over the course of this past year were seeking a total of $4.2 billion in what would have been increased local property taxes. And yet there's about $4 billion sitting there in surplus that the Republican-controlled legislature did not allocate. So in this case, the math is kind of mathing on what Dr. Underley's proposing.
Exactly. And I think by my last count, the total amount that Jill Underley is asking for the Department of Public Instruction is slightly less than what that total amount of budget or referendums equated to. So just under that amount. So it seems like a little bit of a win to me.
It sure does. And look, there will definitely be Republicans in the legislature specifically who will say that that surplus money could be going to instead tax cuts to decrease taxes. Well, guess what? If you're investing that in schools, you are cutting taxes. You're cutting taxes at the local property level. So like Dr. Underley says, you know, there's a win-win involved in that. Now, also, you have some audio here about school lunches and school meals and making that investment. Tell us more about that.
You know, one of the proposals that Dr. Underley has included in this budget is free school lunches or free meals for our students. And she announced this proposal at the Kenosha Unified School District a few weeks ago. And I thought it was an interesting landscape for her to be making this announcement because Kenosha Unified, you know, it's one of the largest school districts in the state. They have actually been offering free meals to their students for, this is, I believe, the second school year that they've been doing so. And they're offering students free lunches through a federal program that is available for schools and school districts that have reached a certain threshold of poverty rate. So I believe it's over 25%. And this is what Emily Riedler, the food service director at Kenosha Unified, had to say about their experience in that federal program.
During the pandemic, we had a unique opportunity to offer free meals to all students, and the impact was immediate. Families felt relief. Students had consistent access to the nutrition they needed to thrive. However, when the pandemic waivers ended in the 2022-23 school year, we returned to that traditional system where we served meals based on free, reduced, and paid status. What we heard from the families was clear. Many missed the simplicity and security of free meals for all. Too many families fall just outside the qualifying limits for free or reduced meals, but they still struggle to afford the cost.
I've said it before, and I'll say it again. Why is this still a thing? Why are we still talking about charging money for school lunches the way that we are? Just provide the meals the way you provide so much more in a school district. And that's why Dr. Underley is proposing nearly $300 million to feed children. Tell us about one or two more elements of what Dr. Underley is proposing.
Something else that I think is really interesting that she's proposing is a reimbursement for mandatory services that schools have to offer for special education programs. You know, we have to provide accommodations for special ed students. That's required by law. But most of those funds are actually going to charter schools or, you know, choice schools. Those schools that are offering special education services at the private or charter level are getting reimbursed 90% for what they're spending, and our public schools are only getting reimbursed like 30%. Now, that's actually the highest from my research that has been offered to school districts, but they're having to make up that gap somewhere for services that are required by law for them to provide.
Right. Again, just a huge gap between the more favorable treatment for voucher schools, and Dr. Underley wants to address that. Much more to come as we follow this through the state budget. Elizabeth Montemurro, thank you so much. Have a great day.
Thanks, you too.
When we come back, hey, remember former Supreme Court Justice Michael Gableman? He's in trouble. Back with more after this. You're up north.
.5 The Tap.
Lena Bloom for the Bail Project.
Imagine you're stuck in a jail cell and you can't afford bail, and someone offers you a way out. Just plead guilty and you can go home and kiss your kids goodnight. What do you do? What thousands have. You plead guilty whether you are or not. Cash bail makes poverty a crime. That's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Stuart J. Waddles. I've been into like pistachios. Now they sell them shelled. That's probably my favorite movie snack for when I'm at home.
Are you getting paid by Big Nut? I don't know of anybody that has pistachios during a movie.
Listen, I would love to be paid by Big Nut. I could do cough drops during movies if people would pay me.
Let's redirect here because this could go bad.
Yeah, this guy, I think it already is.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Dom Salvia Show.
State Senator-elect Jody Habish-Sinikin. What's the best way, do you think, it is to approach a difference in not just opinion, but in what we perceive as facts with those that may not be aware or don't agree with it?
First, having a conversation. Try to get an understanding of what is really bothering them and try to offer solutions at the state level or at the local level where there can be progress.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free. You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Joe Walsh is 77 years old today. Welcome back to Up North News Radio on this Wednesday morning. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Nice to have you along. If you missed it earlier from a sports note, Pat Murphy, Manager of the Year in the National League, the first ever Manager of the Year in Milwaukee Brewers history. So congratulations to him. And former Brewers catcher Stephen Vogt is Manager of the Year in the American League for guiding the Cleveland Guardians to a division title only 2 years since he was a player in the major leagues, is now the Manager of the Year. You can sign up for our daily newsletter over at upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe in the top banner, and you'll see stories across Wisconsin, news stories, features, sports, more. Let's see, one of the things I'm seeing in this morning's issue is about something called refill stores or zero waste stores. These are eco-friendly shopping alternatives that cut unnecessary or wasteful packaging by storing products in large containers for shoppers to fill up their own bags and boxes and bottles and jars. Christina Laurie writes, think of them like the old school candy shops, but instead of candy in the big jars, they're filled with shampoos and soaps and more. And Christina outlines five such refill or zero waste stores around Wisconsin. That's in our newsletter. Again, sign up for that at upnorthnewswi.com. It has been a while since we have talked about former Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Michael Gableman and his quote-unquote investigation into the 2020 presidential election. An investigation is in quotes for good reason. I mean, even one of the judges that was overseeing one of the many lawsuits over Gableman's work said that it would really be, you have to work hard to call it an investigation. It was a sideshow. It was a performance. It was a circus where this boisterous bully tried to intimidate local officials and did advance numerous conspiracy theories about the 2020 election without finding anything. He found nothing. All he did was end up costing Wisconsin taxpayers about $2.5 million, not just for his quote unquote investigation, but the lawsuits that followed because he did not follow the law when it came to maintaining records of his work. He was in violation of the open records law. Well, between that and his conduct and apparently being less than truthful in some of his reporting, he is now facing the potential for discipline by the Wisconsin Office of Lawyer Regulation. These judicial regulators filed a disciplinary complaint on Tuesday against Gableman, a 10-count complaint that accuses him of violations that could result in a variety of sanctions, including possibly losing his law license. The complaint does not make a specific recommendation about what sanction the Wisconsin Supreme Court would ultimately apply. But at the time, you know, when Gableman was doing this work, he is now accused of making false statements, disputing a court hearing, questioning a judge's integrity, making derogatory remarks about opposing counsel, violating open records law, and revealing information about Assembly Speaker Robin Voss as part of the investigation, while Gableman was later trying to promote an effort to recall Voss from office. Let me back up a few steps on this. Okay, in the wake of the 2020 presidential election, when Joe Biden won, and there was no shortage of conspiracy theories and other lies that were out there, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, a few months later, announced that there would be this investigation, and it would be led by a former state Supreme Court Justice, Michael Gableman. Well, it'd be one thing if he introduced that at the state Capitol in, say, some kind of a news conference, but he didn't do that. He introduced Gableman, and he announced this investigation at the Republican State Convention in 2021 to, of course, thunderous applause. And Gableman, from the get-go, nothing impartial about this guy, said, you know, that there were these problems. We're going to get to the root of these problems. And then he was like Inspector Clouseau in the Pink Panther movies of the 1970s, just fumbling, bumbling, stumbling, making all kinds of mistakes, basically bull in a china shop type of conduct. And for it all, he ended up being sued a few times over his conduct, over his open record, lack of open records. And now he faces these sanctions as well. None of this should have happened. None of a lot of this should have happened and would not have happened if more Republicans had had the backbone to stand up after the 2020 election, stand up to Donald Trump and say, there's no there. There's no fraud. There's nothing irregular. You lost. Thank you for your service. We've got to move on. But instead, people continued to go along with it, including Assembly Speaker Voss, who announced this investigation. Later, when it was quite clear that Gableman was finding nothing and was actually causing more trouble than he was worth, Voss fired him, said there is no more investigation. And Gableman thanked Voss by joining the effort to have Voss recalled from office, again, costing more money. So now we have, because of his conduct and everything that has been reported about Gableman from during his, you know, so-called investigation, you now have this 10-count complaint that's going to be coming up, put forward by the Office of Lawyer Regulation. And ultimately, the Wisconsin Supreme Court could make some kind of sanctions here against Michael Gableman. It is simply worth noting, the record is clear on Gableman. And as I have said about the fake electors, and as I've said about the Wausau mayor moving a drop box, essentially, you know, stealing a drop box for a time, these sanctions can't be minor. There has to be a message sent that if you're going to investigate something, you're going to be impartial and let the facts come where they may, that you're going to follow the law while you're doing your investigation and taking your actions, or following up after an election. If you can't do that, the sanctions should be punishing to send a message that this cannot happen again. Our homeroom segment with author Laura Burt is coming up next. You're up north.
This is 93.5 The Tap. This is your local civic media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime?
Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
We all know that turkey is generally the center of attention when it comes to Thanksgiving. But are you open to options? I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Wednesday. We've got one of those options next.
Farming is full of up and downs, but with the right tools, you can navigate any cycle. Join Compeer Financial's Grain Vantage webinar on December 4th from 9 to noon. Hear from ag industry pros like me, Rob Sharkey, during this free virtual event. Leave with real-world strategies to help you manage risk and explore opportunities in today's market. Visit compeer.com/grainvantage to sign up. The Grain Vantage webinar, helping you take control of your farm's financial future.
What about a Thanksgiving ham? According to economists at CoBank, some consumers have moved away from preparing a whole turkey for Thanksgiving, and ham is capturing a larger part of the protein purchases. Nick Vorpagel has seen it himself. He's a third-generation butcher at Lake Geneva Country Meats.
We have some people that want a boneless ham. We have some people that want a spiral-sliced ham. We have people that are maybe a smaller group or some, you know, part of the group doesn't like it, and they'll get ham steaks, which are just, like, beautiful, easy to cook. And then we have a lot of people that get, like, a pork loin roast, or maybe there's even people that will do smoked jowls, smoked hocks, and make really rich stews or soups that they like to have for Thanksgiving. It's people that still want to have all those flavors around Thanksgiving, your mashed potatoes and gravy, your cranberry sauce, your stuffing, all of those things. And pork goes really well with that if you don't want to do turkey.
There you go. A Thanksgiving option, courtesy of Nick Vorpagel, third-generation butcher at Lake Geneva Country Meats.
As the weather changes, it can start to impact feed quality. Don't let your cows become the victims of the ration roller coaster. Adding Generator Elite to your herd's ration can introduce beneficial microbials that support gut health and help the herd navigate the highs and lows of feed quality, all while using less than an ounce per day per cow. Learn more about Generator Elite at bio-vet.com.
Innovation.
And the Wisconsin State Fair has begun accepting applications for the 2025 Century and Sesquicentennial Farm and Home Awards. It's a very prestigious honor, going to families that have kept their homes or farms in the family for 100 or 150 years. To qualify for the award, families are required to provide proof of continuous family ownership of a property in the state of Wisconsin for either the last 100 or 150 years. Everyone will be recognized Tuesday, August 5th during the Wisconsin State Fair. That's a quick update on food news for Wednesday. I'm Pam Yonke.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Mostly cloudy today with a few scattered snow showers possible at times, and it is going to get colder with temperatures falling through the day into the low 30s by late this afternoon. Tonight, breezy, low of 29. Tomorrow, flurries, windy with a high near 40. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 35.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Iron Mike Tyson and Jake Paul, the YouTuber. They're likely, this is just me wildly speculating, might have been a wee bit of a gentleman's agreement. Try to make it look good, but nobody's actually going to try to knock anybody out.
I actually put a bet on that, and I bet it for Jake Paul to win, just because I knew it was staged. Mike Tyson was going to do what he's going to do. Clearly obvious he could have knocked him out. He just didn't want to do it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome from the Overture Center in Madison, Tim Sowers, who talks about upcoming shows. And Wisconsin-based filmmaker Jared Crooks joins me. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Butterfly in the sky. I
can go twice as high. Take a look, it's in a book, a reading rainbow.
Okay, no, this isn't actually Reading Rainbow, but pretty close. We're going to talk to author Laura Bird in just a moment here. First, from the mailbag on our text line at 855-75-CIVIC from Len in Madison. It is important to have some optimism and hope, especially for the next 4 years. The Trump presidency will have a lot in common with a high-fiber meal. This, too, shall pass. Thank you, Len. Len concludes, we hope everything comes out all right. So thank you very much for that. Looking ahead to what you can find across the Civic Media Radio Network on this Wednesday, on the Earl Ingram Show on many of these stations, there will be a conversation about getting the lead out of our fresh water. At 9 o'clock, Earl will have Dr. Robert Craig from Citizen Action. Matt and Air on Air will have their weekly public service announcement with Dr. Laura Hanks. The Todd Alba Show, I'll be on there with Trigvi Olson starting at 12:05. Dan Schaefer is guest hosting the Maggie Dawn Show coming up at 2 o'clock, and his guests include Kate Duffy from Motherhood for Good. On the Dom Salvia Show at 4 o'clock, Matt Rothschild will be the co-host. And on Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, the Overture Center in Madison's Tim Sowers will be a guest. So keep that radio right across the Civic Media Radio Network throughout the course of the day and learn more at civicmedia.us. While folks like me head back over to Up North News, and you can follow our work at upnorthnewswi.com. All right, time for our Wednesday homeroom segment, where normally we're talking about schools and public education. Obviously, we've had a lot to say about that leading up to the election with all the referendums. We talked to Elizabeth Montemurro in our last half hour about Dr. Jill Underlie running for a second term as state superintendent and what she would like to see in the state budget to help our public schools. But for this segment, we thought we'd go more into the area of literature and books, especially for, you know, a niche audience like middle schoolers, for example. And so author Laura Ann Bird joins us now to talk more about, you know, what she's written, the importance of writing, you know, for an audience like that of middle schoolers, and more about, you know, especially being a book author in this day and age. Laura Bird, good morning. Thank you for being here.
Pat, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Tell us a little bit about your background. What you know, what led you to start writing you know, children's books, middle school books, and you know, what would folks know you for a particular book or issue?
Sure. Well, gosh, that's a lot of questions in one. I'll start, I guess, with the fact that when I grew up, I was a voracious reader, and my parents read to me every night, and they let me wander through the stacks of the Wauwatosa Public Library, where I could choose whatever books I wanted and assemble these amazing stacks, and we read really widely. And I knew from a very young age that books meant more to me than almost anything, and I wanted to write for kids someday when I grew up. So I went to college, and I majored in English, and then I got married and adopted three kids. And my life kind of revolved around being a mother for many years. But as my kids have gotten older, you know, they're 20, 20, and 17 now, I finally have kind of the bandwidth to focus on writing. And I've written two middle grade novels, as you mentioned. And a middle grade audience technically is 8 to 12-year-olds, 8 to 13-year-olds. That's going to depend on, you know, the reading ability of a child and or the willingness of a grown-up to read out loud to them. So I highly recommend that. And although my books are geared towards children, I do think it's worth mentioning that a lot of adults have really loved my books also. And I think that speaks to middle grade fiction and why it's so powerful. There's sort of an eternal quality to it, a universality to it, that I think really speaks to adults too. So my first book came out in March of 2022, and it's called Crossing the Pressure Line. And my second book just came out a month or two ago called Marvelous Jackson. so I can tell you more about those books.
Let's first. I know you wouldn't necessarily mention it, so let me mention that Crossing the Pressure Line won awards from the Independent Book Publishers Association, the Midwest Independent Publishers Association, and the Arts and Literature Laboratory. So I guess I'm really not surprised that there would be a follow-up. So can you give us a couple of quick thumbnails on Crossing the Pressure Line, and then how Marvelous Jackson follows up to that?
So that's a great question. So my two books are considered standalone companion stories, which means they're loosely connected and you see a lot of the same characters from one book to the other, but you don't actually have to read one to understand or appreciate the other. So I think it's important to mention that. So Crossing the Pressure Line, my first book, centers on a 12-year-old girl, Claire Birch. She lives in Chicago. And she suddenly has to upend all of her summertime plans so that she can honor a very special request made by her late grandfather. And that entails heading to the Northwoods of Wisconsin for an entire summer with her mother and her grandmother and their little wiener dog, Roger, where Claire has an incredible coming of age season that really stretches her comfort zone in unexpected ways. And I think it's the perfect book for kids who love animals, the outdoors, fishing, swimming. I do have to say fishing plays a huge part in the book. Let's just say that Claire sets out to catch a muskie in honor of her late grandfather, and that plays a huge part in the plot. So Jack Wilson is actually a side character in Crossing the Pressure Line, and he kind of gives everybody a headache. He rides around on his dirt bike all summer, kind of stirring up trouble. And as I was writing Crossing the Pressure Line, I knew that I wanted Jack to be the main character of whatever book would come next, hence Marvelous Jackson. So in Marvelous Jackson, we focus on 13-year-old Jack, and he also is dealing with some loss. He's lost his mother, but my books, I swear, they aren't depressing. I just need to mention that.
Not a Disney situation. There's not going to be a dead parent in every one of the books moving forward?
No. There is a little Disney element there, but they're really upbeat and uplifting. I swear, they're really fun to read.
Okay.
But anyway, Jack has way too much free time on his hands, and he needs to get himself a hobby and get himself on the right path pronto, or his dad is going to send him off to boarding school in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. And I just need to say, I love the UP. I am not anti-UP. But when you're not an outdoor kid and you're, you know, faced with the possibility of being shipped off to the Davy Crockett Institute of Outdoor Learning, you need to change your ways. So that's Jack's story. In a nutshell, he rediscovers the love of baking that he shared with his mom when she was alive and when he was a little boy. And that kind of brings him a new sense of hope and purpose.
Nice. But before I forget, for folks that want to learn more about the books, would you send them to the publisher, orangehatpublishing.com?
You absolutely could go to Orange Hat. And I love Orange Hat because they are based in Wisconsin. They do a great job elevating Midwestern authors. I can't recommend them enough. So if you go to their website, they have, you know, all the books for sale. You can go to my website, which is laurabirdbooks.com. You can shop at your local independent store, of which Wisconsin has many. It's really important to support those businesses. You can also, if you prefer to shop online, go to bookshop.org and you can order there and they can ship right to your door.
Okay. So I just want to make sure we got that out there because I didn't want to forget at the end of the interview here. But so let's come back to why middle grade fiction seems to be your sweet spot. How did you come to find out that that's where you enjoy writing most?
I love that 8 to 12 year old age range. So much is happening developmentally to kids during that stage. And if you've raised kids, you know exactly what I'm talking about. They're really starting to figure out who and what and how they want to be in the world. And that's a tricky time because there are sometimes some conflicting values that take place. You know, you have a kid who really wants their independence and doesn't want mom and dad around. But at the same time, like at the end of the day, they really want their parents to come in and give them a kiss before they go to bed. Or kids really want to be different and stand out from the crowd. But really, you still really want some close, good friends so that you feel like you belong somewhere. So these conflicting values, I think in real life, can be very furious and cause a lot of angst. And I say that, of course, as the mother of three, mm-hmm. because I've been there, done that. But I think they make for incredible fiction. And I just want kids that age, you know, no matter what they're dealing with, whether they feel like they don't fit in, they don't look like everybody else, they don't have what everyone else has, I want them to be able to open up my books and say, wow, I'm not alone. There are other kids that are just like me.
And you do so much more than simply write these books. You celebrate books in so many different ways. You're an ambassador for the Wisconsin Book Festival, which has hosted more than 900 authors over the past 10 years. You're a board member for the Madison Public Library Foundation, co-chaired Lunch for Libraries. You co-founded the Great Midwest Book Group, which meets quarterly on Zoom to discuss authors and books that celebrate our region. And really what I bring all this up to say that in a lot of our segments about education, we talk about getting more involved, that the folks should get involved more than when they simply show up at a school board meeting to complain about something which might be based on a rumor for all we know. You know, get involved more often. And if you, whether it's education or young adult literature, I've already outlined several different ways that people can increase their involvement and as well as increase their love of learning and their love of books.
Right. I'm so glad you brought that up, because to me, that's what being a good literary citizen is all about. And I use that term a lot. I'm a literary citizen. What does that mean? For me right now, just over the last few weeks, I have felt very dejected and very hopeless, like I'm sure a lot of people have. But I know that one way I can make a difference is by recommitting to being a good literary citizen. And what does that mean? Well, to me, it means, and I know people might not want to hear this, it means, first of all, putting down a screen, turning off your TV, and actually reading a book. Books connect us in profound ways. They give us access to other people's perspectives and thoughts. It's really hard to other people when you're actually able to climb inside their brains and their minds and their experiences. So I can't recommend reading enough. It increases empathy, it increases compassion, and that's really what we all need right now, is more of that. But even more than that, I think celebrating books, celebrating authors, celebrating access to books and authors, posting reviews about books, go online, post a review after you've read a book. It helps authors so much. And also I think, particularly right now, is really committing to elevating voices of marginalized authors, especially BIPOC authors, LGBTQ plus authors, because those are historically marginalized voices. And I don't know what's going to happen down the road, you know, with Project 2025 around book banning, but I suspect that those are the voices that are going to be increasingly targeted. So it's really important that we lift them up and read them. If you have a little free library close to you, you know, those cute little libraries that are in front of houses and on mm-hmm. sidewalks, stock that little free library, put some good books in there, especially banned books and books yes. by those marginalized authors.
Yeah. And that's something that I want to get into in a future visit with you about banned books and, you know, the nature of them, what, you know, why they are like they are. Just because they're not somebody's cup of tea and yet other people celebrate them, there might be a reason to learn more about that. So we're going to talk more in a future visit about your work highlighting books that have otherwise been banned. And then I also like the fact that one of the things you like to do is add to people's TBR stack, the to-be-read stack. I'm just going to use something. I happen to have mine right here. It'd be these four books
oh,
right here.
Oh, Pat, that's a nice stack.
Thank you. Including, I'm eventually going to finish Robert K. Rowe's The Power Broker. I swear to God I am, but it's going to take a little while. But everybody's always, not everybody, but so many people are always looking for that next recommendation, and you love playing that role.
Yes. Finding the perfect book for a person is my personal joy. I love doing it. Follow me on Instagram if you want. I'm Laura at the Library. I have underscores between each of my names there. And I post book recommendations all the time. And I only post books that I've read and vetted.
Laura at the library. Mm-hmm. I was going to type that all up on screen, but I'm running out of time into the break. We're going to do this in a future conversation because there, again, is just so much more we can learn. Laura Ann Bird, thank you again so much for visiting with us. I know we're going to have more conversations and just get more folks reading in the new year. Thanks again.
Thanks, Pat.
All right. Have a great day. When we come back, Todd Alba of the conveniently named Todd Alba Show will join us next. You're up north.
I can go twice as high. Take a look. It's in a book.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap. The Todd Alba Show.
Zomers, are you a Netflix and chill guy?
Do you know what Netflix and chill means?
I thought it just meant watch something on Netflix together.
You say that's what you're going to do, but you're really having them over there for sex.
This is why nobody wants to come to my place anymore. I say, hey, you want to come over and have Netflix and chill? People keep saying, well, no, I don't think so. I'll take it back. And I just thought they were being rude.
I do have Netflix, though.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Earl Ingram.
Don from Milwaukee.
I enjoy your show right now at a time like this. You are great therapy for me. I don't know what I'd do without you guys.
We enjoy you as well. That's the importance of civic media and this platform. And Sandy and I take this seriously. We're going to continue to do whatever it is we can to make sure that people like you continue to get your voices heard.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us. Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matt Nair on Air.
One more from birthday boy Dierks Bentley before we wrap things up on a Wednesday. I always like, the thing I like most about this segment is occasionally you find a song where it's not just the snippet. You want to listen to it all the way through. With Dierks Bentley, that would be the song, What Was I Thinking? is a great one to play. So look that one up for your listening pleasure today. Todd Alba joins us now from the Todd Alba Show. You can catch him at noon all across the Civic Media Radio Network, with or without Pat Kreitlow today, with at 12:06. Apologies in advance. Mr. Alba, how are you?
Thank goodness Pat Kreitlow is back this week. We've gotten texts and emails and
there was rioting in the street.
Pining, oh, yeah. Just pining for him. Yes. No, nothing.
Hashtag like pining for Pat.
Yes. Hashtag. I like that. I've never been a hashtag before. we are, as I've said before, still going through kind of the carousel of people who are on or off post-election. Everybody kind of needs it. Frankly, the whole nation needs it. Everybody's been, I mean, ratings for the cable channels have plunged because people don't really want to be ingesting news right now. Can't say as I blame them. I have not put on much for news, especially last week while I was gone. I sometimes will have MSNBC on, and I'll have Joe and Mika on at 5 a.m. when they start their Morning Joe program. Mm. I didn't have it on this Monday. I just was not ready to plug back in yet. I find out later, looking through the interwebs, that they started that Monday morning show saying, well, we went to Mar-a-Lago and we went to meet with Donald Trump and we think it's time to open up a new chapter. And my immediate reaction was, well, I guess I don't have to worry about turning them on anymore, you know, at 5 a.m.
This constantly, we need to be nice and get along.
No, you don't need to when you've got something that... If you've been comparing somebody to some of the darkest figures in our history, and if you still believe that he's capable of that, then shouldn't you, Todd, instead be looking for ways to essentially gird yourself for the battles to come rather than simply, you know, bending the knee?
You kind of think, I mean, we talked a little bit about on this on our show during the week, and I was really disappointed. I've been a fan of Morning Joe, and I don't watch it regularly, but I watch it often. And I agree with you. I mean, I think that for those of us, myself included, who said, you know, that the democracy is at stake in this election, that these are certainly authoritarian things he's putting out there. I think he could be a dictator. If you believe that, and if Joe and Mika believed it, look, I'm really trying to be self-reflective post-election. I want to talk and listen to voters who voted for Donald Trump. I want to hear their perspective. I don't have an interest in going to Mar-a-Lago and hearing Donald, unless he actually wanted to do, I guess, an on-air interview and I'm going to ask him anything I wanted. Okay, maybe I consider that. But to just go there and hold hands and have tea and genuflect, I think they lose credibility. And I I'm not sure if you guys saw this, but overnight or late yesterday afternoon, NBC Universal announced that they're spinning off MSNBC and CNBC into a completely different corporation, separating it out from NBC Universal. I just think that Joe and Mika are concerned, I'll use maybe the word afraid, that they're going to be investigated, maybe not jailed, but the retribution
harassed
is coming.
Harassed, you know, which again they say is what was done to Donald Trump. Others would call that, you know, justice. Like, right. if you're gonna commit crimes, you're gonna be investigated. But this really gets to the crux of the challenge, not just for the big cable channels, but for folks like you and me, and Civic Media and Up North News. And it's this, and this is out of an NBC poll, coincidentally, of those who said they follow politics closely, Vice President Kamala Harris was their choice by 5%. She had a 5-point winning margin among people who follow politics closely. Among people who, by their own admission, say they do not follow politics closely, they went for Donald Trump by 14 points. Yeah. And there's the rub. We can talk, we can preach to the choir all day long. But how do you reach people who don't follow politics closely, but clearly hear just enough from a Joe Rogan or a Fox News or a neighbor down the street who does follow Fox News? And, you know, that's the thing. That's the atom I feel like so many pundits are trying to split these past couple of weeks.
I agree. And I also think in our local news channel, one of our local TV stations here in Madison, they had a story on Eric Hovde's concession speech, or not speech, but his video.
Six-minute video. Right.
And they repeated his lines in the video, which are false, untrue claims about election problems in Milwaukee, which, of course, were disproven. Even Ron Johnson said there were no problems. But this local station repeated those claims and never added the tagline, which were disproven. And, you know, it was one story, but you've worked in local news, you know, more than I have, Pat. I have to start wondering whether some of these stations, some of which are owned by Sinclair, which a lot of listeners or viewers aren't going to know what that means, they're a right-wing or right-leaning mega corporation, are these local stations now going also afraid of retribution, going to start spinning the news a certain way? And I think it's just incumbent upon people. Mark Jacobs is on your show. I think he does such a great job of really being looking through what this means.
Yeah, and it's something we need to continue to look at in terms of what will happen with a Trump administration. But again, also looking ahead to future elections, how do you get certain messages to voters, if not directly, then through the people who are listeners to shows like yours, which you will catch again at noon today across
the key is to be entertaining. And I want to from that last segment saying Pat is well stacked. I thought that was great. More entertainment, more an experience.
Nice stack.
That's what you need.
Thank you, Todd. I'm shutting your mic off now. All right. Greg Bach will be back for Matt and Air on Air coming up at 10 o'clock. Our thanks to today's guests, and hope you'll be back with us tomorrow as well. Up North News is the Wisconsin outlet for Courier, a pro-democracy news network building a more informed, engaged, and representative America. Enjoy your Wednesday. Knock it off, Alba. See you tomorrow.
This is 93.5 The Tap. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. Our old friends Trigvi Olsen and Pat Kreitlow are back for another Wednesday Hump Day edition. Join us then.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Civic Media, Wisconsin's source for real news and great conversation, offers podcasts of all of our daily shows online and on demand. Simply go to civicmedia.us, click on Daily Shows, and choose the podcast that you want to download. Shows are updated daily, or you can save them and listen all at once. Our podcasts are sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. You are an organ donor, right? Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Learn more at heroicdeed.com.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.